This is a sermon I gave to the Valley yesterday. They're a very smart, astute group. And I have no doubts that you also are the same way. So we're going to give a very technical sermon, but I want you to follow along with me. Today, what we're going to do is you have often heard it said by ministers are in writing, when they're referring to Pentecost, they will often say the Ten Commandments and the law were given on the day of Pentecost. You know, the Jews have a tradition that Pentecost was when the law was given. Church of God ministers have said, we believe that on or near Pentecost, the Ten Commandments were given. How do they know that? How do they figure that? That's what we're going to do today in this sermon. In this sermon today, we're going to figure out from the Scriptures when the Ten Commandments were given, and we're going to answer the question, were the Ten Commandments given on or near Pentecost? And if they were, how do you go about figuring that out? So we're going to be looking a little bit at the calendar and some other issues, but that's what we're going to cover today in the sermon. Now, before we do that, let's review some material. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. And Leviticus chapter 23 is called the Holy Day chapter, rightly so, because the holy days are discussed. First thing we need to notice, it says in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of Moses. No, the feast of Israel. No, the feast of the Jews. No, the feast of the Lord. These are God's feasts. The Lord of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ, the rock. Okay? So these are God's feasts. It talks in verse 3 about the Sabbath. It talks in verse 4 and verse 5 about the Passover. And I've given you some very technical sermons in the past about the Passover and how to date it. And you will notice in verse 4, it says what we've learned, or verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. The word twilight is the word dusk, sometimes translated between the two evenings. We talk about sundown. Sundown is when the sun sets, but it's still very light. Dusk, if you're looking at it from an astronomical point of view, or a mariner's point of view, or a weatherman's point of view, the night actually starts when the first star is visible. That's what they say. You go up and you can see a star, then dusk has ended and the evening has begun. So this word twilight means from sundown to about the time the first star is visible, about an hour, hour and a half. So if sundown's at 6, twilight is about from 6 to 7:30. And you can adjust that depending on when sundown is. So notice in verse 5, the Passover is on the 14th day at twilight. There's only one dusk. Dusk is at the beginning of the day. There's not a dusk at the end of the Sabbath, because at the end of the Sabbath, it's sunlight and then the sun sets. There's only dusk at the beginning of the Sabbath. So if it says dusk or twilight or between the two evenings, that means a Passover is eaten as the day is starting and before it completely gets dark. So the Passover meal and the Passover service was after sundown before it totally got dark, which is at the beginning of the day, not at the end of the day like the Jews say. That's another subject. So we're just reviewing some things. So here it shows us that the Passover is as it's darkening on the first day, on the 14th day of the month. 14th day of the month starts with sundown. Passover is eaten and prepared and all of that before it gets dark. Now, notice verse 6. Verse 5 is a 14th day. Verse 6, it's a 15th day of the month. It's a feast of unleavened bread. We just went through the days of unleavened bread 7 weeks ago. The first day after the 14th, what's 1 and 14? 15. So the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. Okay? 15th day, the first day of unleavened bread. You can eat 7 days of unleavened bread. Verse 7, on the first day, which is the 15th, you can have a holy convocation. And verse 8, on the seventh day shall be a holy convocation. So the 15th day, 7 days later, we can number that day also. If we know what the 15th day is, 7 days added to 15 brings you to 22. So we know that the 22nd day of the first month is the last day of unleavened bread. All right. Now, notice verse verse 34. I'm sorry, that's a feast. Notice verse 10. Speak to the children of Israel and say, when you come into the land which I give you, harvest, bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. So the days of unleavened bread have a Sabbath in the middle of them. Notice verse 15. And you shall count for yourself from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. So seven Sabbaths from the Sabbath in the middle of the days of unleavened bread is seven times seven is 49, and one more is 50. That brings us to Pentecost. So knowing the numbering of the Passover, knowing the 15th day, the 22nd day, and knowing that there's a Sabbath in the middle, we can calculate for any given year Pentecost. So 50 days ago, yesterday, 49 days from yesterday, was a Sabbath in the middle of the days of unleavened bread. All right? So we know that the days of unleavened bread are counted from the time the wave sheaf is offered, which is a Sabbath in the middle of the days of unleavened bread. We've already had sermons on this. We've covered all this. You should know this like you know your checking account. Okay? So anyway, this is review. The reason I'm reviewing this is because this is the easy part. Okay, it's going to get a little more technical from here. Nothing that y'all can't handle, because I'm an excellent instructor and you are very capable. You are very capable students, right? Say yes. Yes. So you're very capable students, okay? So remember, 14th day, the Passover, 15th day, first day of unleavened bread, 22nd day, last day of unleavened bread, 50 days from the days in the Sabbath, the middle of the days of unleavened bread, brings us to the Pentecost, which always falls on a Sunday. 50 days after a Saturday is a Sunday. That's why we're here on Sunday. Now let's go, leave this place, and let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. This is the first Passover that was instituted. We read this probably sometime during the days of unleavened bread and sermons leading up to the days of unleavened bread and Passover. Now notice verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. People often say, I wonder why they call it the Passover. There are all kind of scholarly papers written on the name Pascha and Passover and all what it means. It means that the death angel is going to pass over you. That's what it means. Just read it. Now notice this. Verse 14. This day, the Passover, shall be a memorial. Verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. All right. Verse 16, on the first day of the day after the 14th, which is the 15th, there shall be a holy convocation. And on the 7th, there shall be a holy convocation. So, verse 16 is referring to the 15th day of the month, like we covered back in Leviticus. Now, the first day of the 15th day of the month is kind of important because when you go to Numbers 33, you'll see something. This is all introductory material here. Let's go to Numbers 33. And in verse 1. Now notice, before we go to verse 1, notice verse 8 to about verse 37. It gives all the dates and, I mean, all the times and the orders in which the camps were made and broken and where they went during their journeys and wanderings in the wilderness. You can get a map and trace lines from all of these different places, and they're all zigzag all over the place. But this is the order of their camps. Kind of important, but not for us, but it is important for some other things. Notice verse 1 of 33. These are the journeys of the children of Israel who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points, that's the verses we talked about, and their journeys according to their starting points. Notice verse 3. When did the children of Israel actually leave Egypt? Verse 3, they departed from Ramesses on the first day, on the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover. The children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. So here we have another indicator. On the 15th day, which is the first day of unleavened bread, the day after the 14th day, 14, 15, the 15th day, the children of Israel left Egypt. That's the beginning of when we observe the night to be much observed. We observe the night to be much observed because we're coming out of spiritual Egypt, and the children of Israel came out of physical Egypt. So here's what we've discovered so far, and repetition is the best form of instruction. 14th day is a Passover. 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. On the 15th day, the day after the Passover, the children of Israel journeyed out of Egypt. That's when they actually left. They didn't leave on the Passover. They left on the 15th day. And it says that they left at night. So as the night was beginning, or night to be much observed, children of Israel were coming out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt on the 15th day, and they wandered for a while. And do you remember what happened after they left Egypt? Pharaoh got all hot and bothered again and said, oh, you know, I've let them go. Send the armies, and we're going to overtake them. Well, if you look at a little different subject here, but if you look at the days as outlined from Exodus 12 forward, there's about 7 days to when the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea. What's 7 days after the 15th? Holy day-wise, the last day of unleavened bread. That's why we often say that the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea on the last day of unleavened bread. And that's when Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh supposedly himself was destroyed. You know, we make a complete exit from sin, and on the last day of unleavened bread, sin is destroyed. A lot of analogies there. So that's why we often say that on the last day of unleavened bread, the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, and that's when Pharaoh was destroyed. That's not what we're studying today, but that's another thing to consider. Now, one more thing before we get into the actual chronology of why we can date the giving of the law to about the time of Pentecost. What happened on the first day of unleavened bread, the first one that was ever observed? The children of Israel came out of Egypt. The Exodus occurred. What happened on the last day of unleavened bread, the first one? The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. What happened on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit was given. Mr. Munsevice, in his excellent sermonette, mentioned that. So everything's happening around holy days. When you look at the birth of Christ, and he wasn't born in the winter, and we've had Bible studies, he's born sometime in the fall, sometime near what holy day? Trumpets. So possibly it's a very good indication that Christ was born on trumpets. Jesus Christ is returning on the last trumpet, which people say is going to occur on the last trumpet, on the day of trumpets. So he's born on trumpets, and he's going to return on trumpets, according to some of the chronologies. So here's my point. Lots of things happen on holy days. Lots of things happen on holy days. Holy days are very important to God, and lots of interesting things have happened on holy days. People in Protestant talk about, oh, the Exodus and all of this, it happened on a holy day. About the Pentecost and the tongues, it happened on a holy day. So just remember, one other point is lots of interesting, important biblical events happen on holy days. Okay? Now, Mr. Ashcraft, could you come here, please? Here's where your pencil is going to come in handy. Could you give one of these to everybody? And give Gabe an extra one for Virginia, please? Make sure everybody has one of those. And after everybody has one, I'll tell you a little bit about what I'm giving you and why I'm giving it to you. This is why you're going to need your pencil or your pen. Pin? Yeah, did I give him a pin, Cheney? There's a pin. I have one in my briefcase there, if you don't mind. Do you have a pin, Raymond? Oh, here. Yeah, there's a pin there. Okay, everybody has something to write with, because we're going to write in this chart. Now, let me tell you what the chart is. It's a chart that's got 7 days on it. Now, I'm not using Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because we're not looking at Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, because sometimes a Monday can be the second day of the week or sometimes it can be the third day of the week depending on how you calculate things. Mondays run from 12 midnight to 12 midnight. The second day of the month runs from evening to evening. So I haven't put Mondays and Tuesdays in here. I put the first day of the week, the second, so forth and so on. What's the seventh day of the week called? The Sabbath. So this is a monthly chart. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about it. Down at the bottom, it says that the first month, Nisan, has how many days?
30.
How many days does Iyar have, the second month?
29.
And how many does Sivan have?
30.
And what happens in the Hebrew calendar, you go to 30, you go to 29, you go to 30, you go to 29, you go to 30 to 29. And just like us, how many days does February have, non-leap year days? 28. Leap years?
29.
I knew a friend once that was born on February the 29th. When he was 16, he was on his fourth birthday. I'm only 4 years old. Because it was the leap day. So the Jews have, the Hebrew calendar also has leap days in it, and we'll get into that. The moon, because it's a month, it's a moon, is approximately 29 and a half days. 29.54 and some change. So some months have 30, some months have 29 to kind of keep it in line with the moons. And then every once in a while, because of an extra little bit of decimal point, they have to add another month. So there's leap months that are added, I think, every 19 years. But that's beyond the scope of this Bible study. The reason I'm telling you this is because Nisan always has 30 days. Iyar always has 29, the second day of the second month. And Sivan also always has 30. Okay? Now, you'll notice down about on the Sabbath here, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got the fifth column down or the fifth row down. You'll notice a little asterisk there. There's a little asterisk there. Now, we can count our days from wherever we want, but if you count it from that time, you have enough at the top and enough at the bottom without running out of room. That's why I put that there. Okay, so let's look at a couple of things from the Bible. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. Notice verse 1. And they journeyed from Elam, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from Egypt. So this is the 15th day of the second month. So they came into this camp on the 15th day of the second month. So we know exactly what day of the year they were on that this happened. We don't know yet what day of the week. Was the 15th on a Tuesday? Was the 15th on a Friday? Was the 15th on a Saturday? But we know that they were there on the 15th. You could tell somebody, oh yeah, I remember July the 4th. Was that a Tuesday or Wednesday? Let me check the calendar, depending on the year. So the first thing we know is that the children of Israel were encamped here. They came in on the second month. How many days does the second month have?
Nine.
And the month before it?
30.
And the month after?
30.
Okay. And they came in on the second month, on the 15th day of the month. Now I'm going to show you that this is a Sabbath day. And you can get that by reading the chapter. Now let's keep reading the chapter. They came in on a few days after. This is like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks after the Passover. Because the Passover is the 14th day of the first month, right? This is the 15th day of the second month. This is about 4 weeks earlier that the Passover occurred. They just left Egypt four or five weeks back. There, verse 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. We're out here, we've been wandering around for a month in this desert. There's no food. There's 600,000 men, the Bible says. How many women? 600,000. How many children? Let's say they had just as many children, probably more, but an average of 2 children, each man and woman that were married. So you're looking at another 120,000. So we're looking at about 240,000. So we're looking, 240,000, which is about 2 million. No, we're like, 120,000. Okay. And another 120,000. No, I'm sorry. It was 600,000. 600,000, 600,000. 100, yeah, so we're looking at about 2.5 million people. So we got 2.5 million people in the wilderness, and there's nothing to eat. And the people are complaining, you know, when we were back in Egypt, there was melons, and there was onions, and there was this, and there was that, and you brought us out here to die. So they're complaining. Verse 3, the last part. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. We see now what you're doing, Moses. You want to kill us all. We're going to die of hunger. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. You know, we've all heard the story about the manna, right? First day, manna was given. Second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day. Sixth day, there's twice as much. Seventh day, there's not any because it's a Sabbath, right? Don't collect double on the regular days because it's going to rot and stink and breed worms. On the Sabbath, it didn't breed worms on the day before because that was a special manna. We're going to read about the giving of the manna here. Remember, this is all on the same day. There's no evenings or mornings or anything. From 16, verse 1, all the way down, it's talking about one day. Verse 4, last part, I will test them whether they will walk in my law or not. What law? The Sabbath law. And it shall be on the sixth day. Well, wait a minute, hold on. The law is not given until Exodus chapter 20. That's when the law started. How could they keep in the Sabbath here? When was the Sabbath made, ladies and gentlemen? Creation. Did Abraham keep the Sabbath? Certainly did. Did Abraham keep the laws about murder? Yeah. Was it wrong for Cain to kill Abel? Yeah, if there was no law against it, why is God so upset? So all the laws existed before. You were working for an accounting company, and the accounting company says, we're going to handle this loan this way. The interest is going to be this much. The next bullet is the dividend is going to be figured this way. The penalty is going to be figured this way, late penalties. Did the accounting, did the math and all that start when that was written? Was the laws of interest just started with that document? No, they were applicable before, but we're using those laws that exist in this document. So in Exodus chapter 20, the children of Israel were given the law that already existed, but it's given to them specifically. Another subject. Verse 6, then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening, what day of evening? At the 15th day at evening. We're on the 15th day, right? At that evening, what's going to happen? At evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that we complain against us? In other words, that day, on the 15th day, at evening, God's going to give you something that's going to make you quit complaining. And in the following morning, he's going to give you something that's going to make you quit complaining. And he's going to tell you that God is God. What's the subject? We're so hungry. Verse 8, this shall be what the Lord gives you. Excuse me. And Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening. Wait a minute. He's going to feed 2.5 million people meat in the desert? That's what God said he was going to do. And in the morning, bread to the full. In the morning, we'd have bread. We'd have meat in the afternoon and bread in the morning. What day was this talking about? We're on the 15th. We're talking about the next day that this is going to happen. At evening, after the 15th is over, and the next morning, it's still the 16th day, this is going to happen. Then verse 9, then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, this is all in the same day, this is the same day that this is happening, verse 10. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is God speaking to Moses out of the cloud. Do you think the people can hear him? Yeah, everybody's hearing him. He's speaking out of the cloud to Moses. I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. How would you like God to tell someone else, I've heard about the complaints that Arnold and Joe and so-and-so are bringing up. I've heard about them. So God acknowledges that I've heard the complaints. Verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them saying at twilight, what is twilight? Between the two evenings, at dusk. Same twilight word that was used in the Passover. That's what we talked about it. So as the sun is setting on the 15th and a new day is beginning, before it completely gets dark, I'm going to send you something. Speak to it saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And that's going to prove to you that I'm God. If anybody can feed 2.5 million people miraculously with meat in the night and bread in the morning, I would say that they're pretty much a supernatural power. Verse 13, so it was that quails came out at the evening and covered the camp. There's where the meat came from. When did it come? As the 15th was ending and the next day was beginning. Now, it doesn't mention it. Well, let's keep reading. I'll come back to that in a minute. And the morning the dew lay all around it. And when the layer of dew lifted, verse 14, there was on the surface of the wilderness a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. You know what the word manna means? What is this? What is it? What's it? Oh, we had what's it every morning given to us. Because we went out and we said, what is this? That's what the word manna means. It was bread that God gave them. When did the bread arrive? Every morning. It melted before the sun got hot. So by sunrise, the bread was out. And if you wanted to eat, you had to rise up early and get your food. God didn't let you sleep in until 11 and collect food. Kind of tells you a little bit about God's attitude towards work and early rising. Verse 15, so the children of Israel saw it, and they said to one another, what is this? For they did not know what it was, and Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord has given you. And verse 17, so the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more and some less. Now, you don't understand this, but there's other scriptures that indicate that not only was manna given every morning, but quail was given every evening. So every evening they had meat, and every morning they had quail. Every evening they had meat, and every morning they had bread. Okay? We know that manna was given every morning, but sometimes we forget that the quails were given every evening also. Every day for 40 years as a wilderness, this miracle took place. Verse 21. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. Verse 22. So it was on the sixth day from the evening that the manna and the quail were given. What happens on the seventh day after that? There's a Sabbath. Everybody see where we're going with this? So if the 15th day is a Sabbath, and the next day is the first day, which it would be, then 7 days later would be a Sabbath. So that means that when we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, and it says on the 15th day, we understand by reading the rest of the chapter that the 15th day of the month was a Sabbath. So the 15th day of the second month of the time that the children of Israel came out of Egypt was a weekly Sabbath, because the quail was given that evening after the Sabbath was over. The manna was given the next morning, still the first day. Second day, man is given. Third day, man is given. Fourth day, man is given. Fifth day, man is given. Sixth day, there's gathering twice as much. And the seventh day, there's not any to gather. And why are people out there gathering? Aren't they listening to me? Now, all of that is interesting, but it's interesting for us because it pinpoints what day of the week Exodus 16:1 took place. So, when did Exodus 16:1 take place? It took place on the Sabbath. That's why we know that's a Sabbath. Now, here's what I want you to do. Where the asterisk is, I want you to put the 15th day there. Because that, you know, with your pencil, put 15 in there. And the reference for that is Exodus 16, 1 through 13. What would that mean about the 16th day? The next day. That was the day the first manna was given. So if that's the 15th day, the manna was given on the 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st. The 22nd was the day that some of the people went out to collect manna. Now, if you know that this right here is a 15th day, can you number the rest of the month? Yeah, so take your pencil and on this right here put the 16th, 17th, 18th. How many days does IR have? Go all the way till you get to 29 and stop numbering. Should bring you to about right here. Now, I don't want to get ahead of yourselves because I know some of you write kind of slow. Now, if this is the 15th day right here, what is this day before it? Well, you know, backtrack and write 14, 13, 12, all the way till you get to 1. You're going backwards. Sometimes in life, in the church, you go forward. Sometimes you go backwards. Now, that should bring you, the first should fall on the Sabbath. Now, this is a second month, so the blanks before that are what month? Nisan, right? How many days does Nisan have? 30. So start marking before the one, put 30, and keep going backwards. You should end up on the first little block with the 11th day. So the first block should be the 11th, the second, the 12th, so forth and so on. Okay, now, we've numbered to 29 over here, right? We've got 29 numbered. What's the third month? How many days are in the third month? So start numbering on that Sunday, or the first day, all the way till you get, I don't have enough room, but till you get to 28. You should end up with 28 being the last little block. So what we're going to do is right here, this is the 15th, 16th, 17th, you got all the way to the 29th, then we start the first of Sivan all the way till we get to the end. So just start numbering those. So here's what we're going to do. Just to review, let me give you another few seconds to finish numbering. But we start here with the 11th of Nisan. We end up here with the 1st of Iyar. We end up here with the 29th of Iyar and the 1st of Sivan. And we end up with the 28th. Now, it's got two more days, but it doesn't matter. We're not going to go to the end of the month. Everybody have those numbers filled in. Now, just by what we've numbered, when did the children of Israel keep the Passover? They kept the Passover right here on the 14th day, right? When did they come out of Egypt? On the 15th day, which is under day 5. Everybody see that? So you can know the day of the week that the Passover took place. The day of the Passover took place on the 4th day of the month. Partly on Wednesday. Because, you know, Wednesday ends a little before that. That's why I didn't want to use Wednesday. But it ends in the middle of the week. Little trivia here. Let's see how astute you guys and gals, you ladies and gentlemen are. What do you notice about the Passover week here? In the first Passover? What do you notice about it? Anything? It's like the chronology of the week of Jesus. In other words, Jesus died on the same day that the Passover is being observed by Moses. The same day of the week. Okay? So the chronology is the same. Alright. So when is the seventh day? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Last day of unleavened bread is actually the 21st. I was right when I was mistaken, but it is the 21st. Count to 15 as the first. And go to 7 and you'll end up with what day? What's 7 from, count 7, count 15 as 1 and keep counting. What day do you end up with 7 days last day of unleavened bread? 21st. When did the children of Israel cross the Red Sea? 21st, probably. We're not exactly sure. So that's how we can tell. So we actually know, if our chronology is right, when the Passover took place, what day the children of Israel left Egypt, what day the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Now, everybody give me your eyeballs here real quick. What is important about this Sabbath here? Sabbath in the middle of? What do we number from there? Pentecost. How many Sabbath do we put? And one more to make 50. So go 7 Sabbaths. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then go to the next Sunday. And somebody tell me when Pentecost is. Of what?
Sivan.
So we can actually tell what day Pentecost was on the year that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. That's why we covered how you count the Pentecost, and that's how we covered what day the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and that's why we covered all of these other things that you thought was going to be boring. Now we have a chart that lists all these days. The thesis of this sermon, of the SPS, is did the children of Israel get the law on Pentecost, or near Pentecost? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to know when Pentecost occurred. Now we know when it occurred. Okay? So this chart has been set up so that we can figure out that Sivan the 8th on a Sunday was Pentecost. Now, let's look at something. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. What happens after Exodus chapter 19? What's the next chapter about?
The Ten Commandments.
So Exodus 19 is a chapter right before the giving of the Ten Commandments. Now let's notice something about the days before the giving of the Ten Commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt, on the same day. Now, some people say this is referring to the day of the month, but it actually is referring to the day of the week. Let me read you that again. In the third month, what is the third month? What's the name of it?
Sivan.
Okay, in the month of Sivan, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they left Egypt, in the third month, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. On what day, looking at your first row there, on what day did the children of Israel leave Egypt?
15th.
On the 15th, which is what day of the week? Fifth. Which is probably a Thursday. Thursday, Friday, right around there. All right? So if the children of Israel in verse 19, chapter 19, verse 1, if they come into, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, that was on what day of the month? It's the same as the day that the children of Israel left Egypt. On what day did the children of Israel leave Egypt?
15th.
On what day of the week?
Thursday.
Which is what number? Fifth. So one of the fifth days of the month of Sivan, this is taking place. We don't know which one it is, because it just says on the third month, on a Thursday, or on the fifth day of the month, the children of Israel, on the same day, on the fifth day of the week, the children of Israel, not the fifth day of the month, but on the fifth day of the week, the children of Israel came into the land here of wilderness of Sinai. So the children of Israel come into Sinai on one of the Thursdays in the month, or one of the fifth days of the week in the month of Sivan. Okay, so according to what we've read, this is Sivan. Sivan starts right here, right? So the fifth day could be right here. It could be right here. It could be right here. It could be the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, or the 26th. But we're not sure which one yet. All right. Now let's see what happens from this day. Let's see what happens from this day. On Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, I'm going to paraphrase for you. In the third month, which is the month of Sivan, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day of the week, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed, and it gives all the places they came from. And when we look at that, it tells us on what days they were where. We can figure out what days they were where before this, but that's not germane to our sermon. Now, notice verse 6. Verse 4. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. I brought you out on eagle's wings. Verse 5, therefore you will keep, indeed, obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Be a kingdom, a priest, a holy nation. So Moses, this is all the same day, that Thursday, that fifth day of the month, a fifth day of the week. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded them. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people of the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, this is still the fifth day of the week. No sundowns and no days have occurred. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in thick clouds that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, same day on the fifth day of the week, nothing's changed. Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. So the third day from this fifth day of the month, of the week, something's going to happen. Verse 11, and let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. What did he do on the third day? What did the Lord do on the third day? He gave the commandments. We can read about him in verse 20. So 3 days after this fifth day of the week, the commandments are given. Notice verse 13. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned. Somebody touches a mountain. Verse 15, and he said to the people, be ready for on the third day. Verse 16, then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud in the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so all the people who were in the camp trembled. And verse 18, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, and it's a great supernatural fireworks display right before the commandments are given. So we have the fifth day of some week in Sivan. And 3 days later, five, six, seven would bring us to a Sabbath. Or if we count from one, you know, count from that day, it brings us to Sunday. Depending on how the count was, we don't know if the count was the fifth day being the first or the sixth day being the first. So it either brings us, so if you go from this Thursday, right, if you go from a Thursday and you count one, two, from a Thursday or a fifth day, one, two, three, it brings us to the Sabbath. If you go counting from this as one, two, it brings us to a Sunday. So the giving of the Ten Commandments was either on a Sunday or a Saturday. We don't know yet which one, depending on how the count is. But we know that the Ten Commandments were given from the third day on one of the fifth days of the week in the month of Sivan. We know that for sure. Because it says that it came out on the same day on the third month as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, which is on a fifth day of the month. Fifth day of the week, excuse me. Now here's the thing. Hold your place in chapter 19. Go to chapter 16. We go from chapter 16, verse 1, to verse 30. So the people rested on the seventh day. That verse 30 is the seventh day after the notation you made for 16:1, right? 16:1 is right here on this Sabbath. We know it's a Sabbath because of the giving of the quail and everything. IR the 22nd right here on the Sabbath is what verse 30 is referring to. Verse 30 is that Sabbath, right? Now, if that Sabbath is the 22nd, how many days do we have from the 22nd to Pentecost? To the Thursday before Pentecost. Or the fifth day of the week before Pentecost. Well, everybody kind of watch me. Here's the 15th day. 16:1. Manna. Sabbath day. Verse 30. They rested the Sabbath day, referring to this 22nd. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. About 11 days to the Thursday before, or the fifth day of the week before Pentecost. So how many days are there between verse 30 in Exodus 16 and Exodus 19? We're not sure, but it seems to be about there's 9 or 10 days. There's not 2 weeks. There's not 3 weeks. There's not, 14, 15 days. When you count what happened, which we're not going to do, there's about 9 or 10 days. So, from this Sabbath where the children of Israel rested, with the Sabbath at the end of the giving of the manna, the first week, when he tested, this is Sabbath where some people went out and, we're out here collecting, but there's not any. And God says to Moses, look at your people. They're out there on the Sabbath collecting. What's the matter with them? Don't they listen? We're never like that, are we? So this happens on Exodus chapter 16, verse 30. 17 and 18, we have the days that are covered. It brings us to sometime in the middle of this week here. So sometime in the middle of the week before Pentecost was when we're going to be ready for the third day. Everybody with me? So that indicates a couple of things. That indicates that the third days, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, belongs on this Thursday here, the 5th of Sivan. So the 5th of Sivan, right in Exodus 19:1. How do we know that? Because that's as many days as there are to fill in the blanks right in here. There's not enough to go to the next week or the following week. There's only enough days between Exodus 16 and 19 to fill up these days here. So that means that this fifth of Sivan was when 3 days from there I'm going to give you the commandments. What is 3 days from the fifth of Sivan? What does that bring you to? Or if you count it from the fifth, it brings you to the day before Pentecost, which is a Saturday. So we're not sure if Pentecost, we're not sure if the law was given on the Saturday before Pentecost, or we're not sure if the law was given on Pentecost, because it depends on how you count the days. Now, we're pretty sure it was on Pentecost, because what happens on holy days? Important things. What happened on the Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? Holy Spirit. We didn't give it on Saturday before Pentecost. What happened on the 15th of the first month? Children of Israel came out of Egypt. What happened on the last day of unleavened bread, the first month when children of Israel were coming out of Egypt? We have the crossing of the Red Sea. So lots of important things happen on the holy day. So this seems to indicate, if we put that thought with the others, that probably, we cannot be absolutely sure, that probably the Ten Commandments, the third day after Exodus 19:1, be ready till the third day, occurred probably on the day of Pentecost. That's where we get the idea that, yes, we traditionally believe that on the day of Pentecost, the Ten Commandments were given, although it could have been on Saturday. We're not sure. Now, if it was given on Saturday, that's still a very important date, because I want you to notice something. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is the giving of the commandments. We've come to the conclusion by looking at the chronology that this Exodus chapter 20 chapter is given either on Saturday or on Pentecost Sunday. Now, let's say that it was given on Saturday. All right, so this Ten Commandments are given on Saturday. Let's go to, and by the way, a little side note here. People often say, I sure wish God would talk directly to us. Why doesn't God just talk to us? Why did he have to use Moses? Notice verse 18 of Genesis chapter 20. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightnings, the flashes, the sound of the trumpets, the mountain smoking, and they were just scared. They trembled. And you know what they said? I'm going to paraphrase for you. We don't want God to talk to us. It frightens us. Moses, you talk to us. God will tell Moses what to do, and Moses, you tell us what to do. You know, people had the great opportunity to have God speak directly to them, and they said, no, we can't handle it. Be careful what you ask for. Because children of Israel didn't want God directly talking to them, because every time it did, they were scared. Now, we go to chapter 21. This is the law concerning how the commandments should be kept. Let me ask you a question. Do you keep the Sabbath? Should you keep the Sabbath? Yes. Is it okay to watch TV on the Sabbath? Is it okay to do this on the Sabbath? Or to do that on the Sabbath? We're not arguing about whether you should keep the Sabbath. We know you should keep the Sabbath. Now, as far as the television question, let me give you my interpretation. Yes, you can watch TV on the Sabbath. If you watched a Bible study from the Church of God, whatever, on the television on the Sabbath, is that allowable? Yes. Can you watch an R-rated movie with a bunch of nakedness in it on the Sabbath? No. Somewhere in between is a balance. God gave us brains to figure it out. You figure it out. But yes, you can. But see, there's laws. There's laws about the law for the Sabbath doesn't say how you should keep it. You know, it tells you you shouldn't work and all that. But is there laws about watching lustful things? Yeah, so you got to apply that to what you watch on the Sabbath. Is there laws about creation and about listening to sermons on the Sabbath? Yeah, then you have to apply that to what you watch on television. The point is this. The law doesn't change, but the application is important. So here in chapter 21, chapter 22, chapter 23, chapter 24, beginning of it, we have laws that tell us how to keep the commandments. And if you read these laws, they were all given on the same day. Not only was the Ten Commandments given, but the elders went up to visit with God on the mountain with Moses, remember? And God said, this is the details about the law. But point is this. Exodus chapter 24, go there. Exodus chapter 24. Mine has a little heading above it. It says, Israel affirms the covenant. This took place after the day after the giving of the Ten Commandments. Because all these other three chapters were all occurred in one day. Okay? So we're looking at the chronology. So Exodus chapter 24 occurs on the day after whenever the Ten Commandments were given. If the Ten Commandments were given on a Saturday, then this occurs on Pentecost. If the Ten Commandments were given on Sunday, this occurs on the day after Pentecost. Notice verse 1. Now, chapter 24, now he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and all of these other people and the 70 elders of Israel and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come up near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, which we have read about in the previous two chapters. And all the people answered with one voice and said, whatever God says, we'll do it. We're going to obey God. What is a covenant? It's an agreement. God says we're going to do this. We agree. We'll do it. What was going to happen? They were going to be a special people, a holy nation, and all this other stuff. Verse 5, then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And notice verse 11, or verse 10, then they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and like the heavens in his clarity. You ever read about God's throne room in Revelation? What's he sit on? A sea of crystal, a glass, transparent, quartz. I mean, something glassy. So one of two things happen. Either these elders in vision, Moses and these other gentlemen, and the elders, 70 of them, were transferred up into heaven in a vision, or God brought his throne room down to the mountain where the elders saw it. But they were in the presence of God's throne. Verse 12, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be here, and I will give you tablets of stone. The Ten Commandments were printed out. You know, we have a printer, we have a computer, God speaks it, and now I'm going to give you a printed copy on stone for your records. And what I want you to notice is verse 8, Moses took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant. The children of Israel, on the day after Pentecost, were brought into a covenant with God. What happened to us on the day of Pentecost? The church. We were brought into a covenant with God because we accepted the Holy Spirit. Now, they ate a meal here. It says that they ate a meal here. And I'm trying to find it where it says that they ate a meal. Oh, yeah, verse 11. So they saw God, and these 70 elders and these people with Moses ate and drank with God. They ate a meal. There was a covenant meal. Some of the translations say this was a covenant meal. What is the meal that we had sealing our covenant? Let me give you a hint. Wine and bread. The Passover. So what I'm getting at is if this occurred on the day of the Sabbath, in other words, the Ten Commandments were given on the Sabbath, the covenant was ratified on Pentecost. So either way, it's a very important date. So let's review what we've learned so far. Let's review real quickly. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, that was on the 15th day of the second month, and we know from the giving of the manna and the giving of the quail that this occurred on a Sabbath. So the 15th day of the second month was a Sabbath. Knowing that, we can number afterwards and we can number before that. Now that we know what days of the month and what days of the week we have, we can tell you when the Passover was on what day of the week and when the leaving of the children of Israel was on what day of the week. We can also tell you probably when the Children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and all of the armies were drowned. Okay? Knowing that, we can number forward. Okay? We go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, and it says that that occurred on the fifth day of the week, the same day of the week the children of Israel came out of Egypt. The children of Israel came out of Egypt on the fifth day. This occurred in the third month on the fifth day of the month. Then we have that occurring We have that occurring sometime on a Thursday by our calculations. Now, we know that 3 days later is the giving of the commandments. We can now go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 30, and we come to this Sabbath here, when it says the children of Israel rested after the 7 day giving of the manna. And between this day here and this Thursday here is about the same amount of days that are in between those verses. So we understand that it was probably the first fifth day of the week we're talking about, not the second, the third, or the fourth. So that pinpoints it probably to Sivan the fifth, which fell on the fifth day of the week. 5 days later, we have the giving of the law. 3 days later, we have the giving of the law, which occurred probably on a Sabbath before Pentecost or on Pentecost. So what I wanted to show you today is, next time you hear one of the ministers say, there's a very good chance that the law, the Ten Commandments, were given on the day of Pentecost, you understand their logic and you understand where they get their reasonings from. And this will help us to realize that Pentecost, the day we're keeping today, is very, very important, because in all probability, either on the Sabbath before or on the Sunday of that week, that God gave the Ten Commandments.